2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 4 through 20. This is the reading of God's word. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you received a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. For I consider myself not in the least inferior to the most eminent apostles. But even if I am unskilled in speech, yet I am not so in knowledge. In fact, in every way we have made this evident to you in all things. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel of God to you without charge? I robbed other churches by taking wages from them to serve you? And when I was present with you and was indeed in need, I was not a burden to anyone. For when the brethren came from Macedonia, they fully supplied my need. And in everything I kept myself from being a burden to you and will continue to do so. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be stopped in the region of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. But what I am doing, I will continue to do so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Again, I say, let no one think me foolish, but if you do, receive me even as foolish, so that I also may boast a little. What I'm saying, I'm not saying as the Lord would, but as in foolishness, in this confidence of boasting. Since many boast according to the flesh, I will boast also. For you, being so wise, tolerate the foolish gladly. For you tolerate it if anyone enslaves you, anyone devours you, anyone takes advantage of you, anyone exalts himself, anyone hits you in the face. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this time of hearing of your word. Oh Father, cause us to listen, hear your word, so that our faith may grow, so that we may be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, cause us to understand and believe and obey your word, that we may bring glory and honor to you in everything that we do in our lives. Bless us. Let your gospel be preached to your people, that your people who are gathered to worship will rejoice, be very happy because of Jesus Christ and what he has done and accomplished for us. We thank you. We pray that you alone will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you remember, Paul starts out this chapter by saying, bear with me in a little foolishness. In order to show the true foolishness of the false teachers, the Apostle Paul engages in a little foolishness himself. And here, this foolishness is referring to The boasting according to the flesh. And as you read, Paul actually boasts. But he's not teaching us to do this. He's saying from the very beginning, this is foolishness. But he wants to show you, show the Corinthian church, how foolishness is this. Boasting. Verse 4. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. If somebody comes and teach you this other gospel, but it's not other gospel at all, it's not even the gospel, they accept this readily. You do this beautifully. Again, sarcasm. This whole chapter is a sarcasm. And it will be very clear to you as we finish this whole chapter next week. It says, another Jesus, a different spirit, a different gospel. The false teachers say they are preaching Jesus Christ. And they are preaching the gospel. But ultimately, what they teach is another Jesus, a different gospel. And not by the Holy Spirit, but the gospel according to a different spirit. It's not the knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives, but it's different spirit. Paul has said something similar in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 10. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him, Jesus, who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you receive, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. First of all, you must understand there is no another gospel as if there are many gospels. If it is not the true gospel, then it is not the gospel at all. And at this point, it is very important for us to understand what is the content of this different gospel? What was these false teachers teaching at that time that Paul says, you are so readily to accept this false gospel, which is not gospel at all? By reading Paul's letters, we could get a pretty good idea what these false teachers were teaching. And it is very important for you to understand that so that when you hear teachings today, that you are able to differentiate between the true gospel and the false gospel. What was the content of this different gospel, which is no gospel at all? Well, in the book of Galatians, if you read the whole book of Galatians, it's very, very clear this false teaching was about works principle. That you are saved by your works. You do good works, and God looks at that and says, whoa, this guy is good. I will save him. Salvation by works. That was the false gospel in Galatians. blessing by your works. Because if you truly understand your works, however you do it well, still your works only deserve God's punishment because your works are never perfect. And yet, this is what the false gospel was all about, works principle. But if you really understand this, that every other religion in the whole universe is about this works principle. You go to any other religion, Buddhism or Hinduism or every false Christianity you go, they will teach you that you are saved by works, that you are blessed by works. Take time to study other religion and hear what they say. How are they saved? By works. And they bring this worldly concept into Christianity, into church. And they teach that you are saved by works. You're blessed by your own works, good works. This was the content of false gospel. And you hear that from so many churches even today. It's very clearly written out for you in Galatians. Go home and read it. Galatians, let's go there. I'll read a couple places for you. Galatians chapter 3. It says, you foolish Galatians. Paul says, you foolish Galatians. Why? Because they're accepting false gospel. Who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only one thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Did you receive the Spirit? Did you start believing? Is it by the works or by faith? That's the question. He doesn't answer because the answer is quite clear. Are you so foolish? Having begun by Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does He, God, who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you, do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Is it by the law, works of the law, or is it by faith? That was the issue. Back then, you know, we'll read about these false teachers. They don't come to you like Satan. I mean, if all the false teachers come to you like Satan, nobody will listen to it. But he come like an angel. So on the surface, it looks the same. It sounds the same. But it's at the end. That's the difference. False teachers at this time will say they will preach Jesus, of course. I mean, if you come to church and say, you know, Jesus and him dying on the cross, that has nothing to do with you, what church will receive that? He will be kicked out in 2 seconds. So that's not how Satan comes in. Of course they will say, Jesus died for your sins. Of course. And you need to believe in Jesus. They will say all these things. But at the end, they will add one sentence. But you also have to do good works. This is how the false teaching comes in. Because if it looks so like false teaching, who will receive it? But it will come to you, looks the same as the truth. And yet, at the end, it is not. So it's always Jesus plus something else. That's false teaching. Unless it's other religion. I mean, if it's another religion, they're not even going to talk about Jesus. So I don't think any church members will be affected by that. But they come disguising as Christianity. So at this time, the whole works was represented by circumcision. You say, yes, you need to believe Christ, you need to believe what he has done, but you also need to get circumcised, otherwise there's no salvation. So this works was represented by that circumcision. But that principle is clearly taught by these false teachers. You need to do good works. You need to follow the law. So, if you go to Galatians chapter 5, I read it from verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Jesus saved us so that we may be free. But these works principle, this teaching will make you a slave again. Verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Because they believe that they are saved by works, so they need to do this circumcision to be saved. If that is true, so that you get circumcision, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. If you just do circumcision because you believe you need to do that to be saved, then you don't just do circumcision, you have to obey the whole law. If principle is that we are saved by obeying the law, then you have to obey everything. What do you mean just one? Verse 4, you have been severed from Christ. If that's how you believe, you are cut off from Christ. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. You know, this is so serious because your eternal life depends on it. I mean, if it is about you getting one good grade in one class, then I don't care. What if you get one F? Okay, big deal. But if your eternal life is depending on it, then it is big deal. That's why I have to shout it out to you every opportunity I have. It's not by works. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. And if you believe that it is by works, then you're not a Christian. You're severed from Christ. Jesus has no benefit to you whatsoever. That is what is written. I'm not making this up. How important is this? And yet, so many churches today, they teach you that it's by works. You need to do good works to be blessed. You need to do good works to be saved. Oh yeah, and they will talk to you about Christ and what he did, how he died on the cross for your sins. They will talk to you all about that. But when you summarize their teaching, it is about you doing good works. This is not the gospel at all. Now in 2 Corinthians, some other elements were added to that works principle. the false teaching. In Galatians, it's strictly about the works principle being false teaching. In 2 Corinthians, yes, works principle is there, but more elements are added to that in this false teaching. And that is the confidence in the flesh. Judging according to the flesh. The boasting according to the flesh. This is false teaching. The false teachers and their teachings were a serious problem of the Corinthian church. But what concerns Paul more was the fact that the congregation of the Corinthian church accepted those false teachers and approved their false teachings. I mean, if false teachers come into the church and no congregation will accept their teaching, then what's the problem? But the problem is always when this false teacher comes and they teach this false teaching, the church people accept. And they approve. Because they think it makes sense to them, because they are so saturated with the worldly understanding. Because like I told you, every other religion in the world is all about works principle. This is how world thinks. So that when false teacher come into church and tells you things of the world, how the world says things, you readily accept. And you even think, well, that one makes sense to me. Of course it's by good works. I need to do good works so that God will look at that and be impressed so that He could bless me, He could save me. I mean, that makes sense. But that is not what the Bible teaches. And it's all about confidence in the flesh. It's about boasting. These false teachers were telling the Corinthian church, look at Paul. And when you read the rest of chapter 11, Paul will boast about all the sufferings that he went through. I mean, man, it seemed like, you know, every day was like big suffering for Paul. He goes on and on and on about sufferings that he went through. So these false teachers were saying to the church, look at Paul. I mean, if he is sent by God, if God is actually doing ministry through Paul, then how come he's always suffering? Look at, in today's language, if that pastor is truly true pastor, how come his church is so small? How come he's not successful? How come nobody comes? But if you look at the Bible, read it. Who is successful? Show me one person who is successful in the Bible in worldly sense. I didn't find any. Well, only in the Old Testament. I'm talking about New Testament. Even Jesus was a complete failure. Man, he could not even teach those 12 disciples correctly. For 3 years, Jesus took them by his side. And after 3 years, were they great students? What's going on? Was Jesus not a great teacher? He did not have ability to raise up good students? You have to understand the true gospel. This is why
Bible says that when I come, Jesus says, where could I find true faith? Which means there will be not that many true Christians left. You think when Jesus spoke, so many people followed him and they were just so happy to hear him, or they wanted to kill him? They actually killed him. What success do you see from Jesus? What success do you see from these disciples of Jesus? Actually, Paul will tell you, his life was filled with sufferings, and I mean sufferings that he feared death many, many times. I thought, if there's anybody who should be blessed by God, it should be Paul. And yet he died in prison. Do you understand the gospel, people of God? But these false teachers, they bring this resume that is 7, 8, 9, 10. How long is the resume these days? See, mine's only one page, so, you know, front page, that's it. Resume with 5, 7, 8, 9, 10 pages long, how successful he is. And these church people, they go, whoa, he must be great teacher. He must be God sent. God blessed him. Whoa. I better listen to what this guy has to say. Whoa, he's pastor of 10,000 people. Man, he must be telling you the truth. Otherwise, how can he be successful like that? Read the Bible. What does the Bible say? You bear them beautifully. Sarcasm there. When these successful, worldly successful people come and they tell you that I'm from this kind of family, I graduated from this kind of school, and you know, I was pastor of this great church and that great church. Obviously, you're going to listen very carefully and you follow. You bear them beautifully. These false teachers, they were boasting so much that Paul is actually sarcastically, man, I'm going to be like that kind of people and be very foolish. I want to boast too. By how Paul is writing, you could tell how much boasting these false teachers were doing. And you bear them beautifully. Chapter 10, verse 7, you are looking at things as they are outwardly. Chapter 11, verse 19 and 20, for you, being so wise, tolerate foolish gladly. Sarcasm. You're so wise, and you tolerate foolishness gladly. Beautifully. You tolerate it if anyone enslaves you, anyone devours you, anyone takes advantage of you, anyone exalts himself, anyone hits you in the face. Even if they hit you in the face, you bear it beautifully. These false teachers, they come and they enslave you. They teach you works principle so that they force you to work, serve in the church. For what? For the benefit of those false teachers. I could only tell you to do what the Bible tells you to do. I have no authority to tell you do something that Bible doesn't tell you. I'm not your master. I'm not your king. I have no authority whatsoever to tell you to do something that the Bible doesn't tell you to do. But these works principle people, even when you don't want to do, they will force you to do the services in the church. Oh, they make it very clever so that you would also have something to boast about. How much you serve that front of all the people is to just to show off. Work-centered teaching and this world-centered teaching, they bear those false teachings beautifully. These teachings make the Christian to become slaves once again. Do you remember Galatians 5:1? It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. They reject the freedom of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for Christians. You tolerate it if anyone enslaves you, if anyone devours you, anyone takes advantage of you, forcing you to pay up. Even if they hit you in the face, you bear it beautifully. You will listen to that kind of pastor. Even if he hits you in the face, you bear it beautifully. This goes on so many times. You just do certain things because pastor tells you. You dare not go against the pastor. Especially from everybody, you want to show how obedient you are. Brothers and sisters, you must not let anyone enslave you. You must enjoy the freedom of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, what I found out is that congregation, if they are given this freedom, then they just don't know what to do. And when they are treated as slaves, then they do them very well. Church must make many programs and force people to do things, then they will do them. Left with their freedom, they just don't know what to do. You know, people come to me and says, our church, how come we don't have fellowship? And I say to them, do. Go and do fellowship. And they go, oh, what do you mean? Why do you need church to make a program and only then you could do fellowship? Why can't you just have fellowship among yourselves without church's program? But church, if church doesn't make any program, then the people, they don't know what to do. They come to me and say, how come our church wouldn't do witnessing? I say to them, go and witness. How come you can only witness when church has a program to witness? So should I make a program Saturday? This Saturday you guys come out. We'll go in front of the market and we're going to do some, witnessing. Then you will come out because you need to show your face. You need to show other people that you're obedient Christian and all that. So even if you don't want to do, you will come out. No, just freely witness, please. Because if church keep on making programs, then we're enslaving you. They were forcing you to do things that you don't want to do otherwise. And that's clearly what I see in the church. Because I went to Korean church too. We have so many programs and you know, witnessing programs. So many people came out. But when this church doesn't have a witnessing program, nobody witnesses. Wake up, brothers and sisters. Exercise your freedom. Do not let church enslave you. But see, works principle teaching will do that to you. You must be free. Be free to obey God on your own freedom. With willing heart, obey your God, not because you are forced. Do not let church treat you as slaves. But many just do not understand. They do well when they are told according to the flesh. They judge things according to the flesh. They do not see the reality of heaven, thus they do not really believe it. It is this world that is all they understand. They bear the yoke of this sinful world beautifully. They recognize all things according to the flesh. This is problem indeed. To do so is to lead astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ, verse 3. You might think, how come this church, they don't do anything? We don't want to make programs to force you to do things. God says, whether you are in season or out of season, always be prepared to share the gospel. You are to witness anytime, anywhere in your life. You don't need church's program to do that. People are so used to being slaves. Just do what they are told. What God wants is with that freedom that Jesus gave you, you know, even when you don't have to do, you want to do. So you do. Not because somebody tells you, not because you want to show off to other people, but because you love God. That is what I want from this church, and by look of it, I probably need to wait. Let me say it this way. When will I see you actually exercise that freedom and serve God and serve one another on your own? I think waiting for Jesus' coming back will be much sooner than what you will do when you actually do that. So then what? So then I go home today and start making programs? No. I wait. And until then, I preach the gospel. And I pray that one day that gospel will compel you to serve God and serve one another out of your own free will, out of all your freedom. Verse 5, for I consider myself not in the least inferior to the most eminent apostles. The most eminent apostle, Paul, is referring to the false teachers who have appointed themselves as the apostle. A little sarcasm again. I consider myself not in the least inferior to the most eminent apostle that you readily follow. I consider myself not in the least inferior. Paul continues to speak in this manner, but here Paul is not defending himself for the sake of defending himself. Remember what Paul is doing to reveal the foolishness of the false teachers. He himself is engaging in the foolishness. As you see Paul boasting, it's going to make you feel uneasy. What is Paul doing? That's exactly the point. But you listen to the false teachers boasting and you accept their boasting so beautifully. That's his point. And that's what today's churchgoers do. You listen to the boasting out there who is so successful, and you are ready to listen to worldly successful leaders. It's not about what the truth says, but it's all about what the world says. Who should we listen to? The foolishness of boasting. This is why chapter 12, verse 11, after he does all this boasting, he says, I have become foolish, but you yourselves compelled me. You forced me to do this because of your foolishness. You made me do it. Verse 6. Let's go back. Let's try to go faster here. But even if I am unskilled in speech, I am not so in knowledge. In fact, in every way, we have made this evident to you in all things. Unskilled in speech. To Paul, this is not a problem. Remember what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 4. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. In knowledge, it is a different story. Knowledge here refers to the knowledge of the truth, the Bible. Now, this is important. When you hear the preaching, do not concentrate on the superiority of speech or of wisdom of the preacher. Do not concentrate on the ability of the preacher's usage of persuasive words of wisdom. Listen to the message. Message of the truth. Listen to the Word of God. It's not how well and how beautiful words that the preacher uses. Listen to the content, the message, the truth. I teach the future pastors. There is no good preaching or bad preaching. Issue is not whether you did good preaching or bad preaching. Issue is, did you preach or not? Did you preach the Word of God? Then how can it be bad? Oh, because the vocabulary he uses is not, you know, it doesn't show his wisdom? I mean, if God's Word is preached, how can it be bad? And if God's Word is preached, how dare you not hear it? How dare you not hear the Word of God? God. It's God's Word. See, this is so amazing to me. People just don't understand what's going on. Because if God stands right in front of that person and starts speaking, man, he's going to be so scared. And yet, when God's Word is preached, this guy is so rude. Seriously, Una, how else I'm going to say this? Una begging you to be here. If you don't want to hear, and if you don't want to worship God, then we're here because we want to worship Him. No? It's like these days, you know, pastors even have to apologize for preaching. Apologize for worshiping. Oh, you know, thank you so much for coming out. Really? How dare you not come out and worship God if you're a Christian? Why should I thank you for coming out? But that's the attitude we must have as pastors. Thank you. Thank you. You think that's correct? Chapter 11, verse 7 and 8. Oh, did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel of God to you without charge. I robbed other churches by taking wages from them to serve you. Paul was what we call a tent maker. He did not receive any pay at the Corinthian church. He is not against pastors receiving pay for their works. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 through 18. The elder who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. So there are two kinds of elders, ruling elder and teaching elder. Ruling elders are just elders, as you know it. Teaching elders are pastors. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 through 15, he also talks about how pastors should be paid. But the Apostle Paul was so careful not to give any impression that what he does, preaching the gospel, he's not doing it for the money. Yes, this is not complicated. Pastors must not work just to make money. If you want to make money, I suggest to you that you get another job. But see, that doesn't make sense today because there are so many rich pastors out there. Right? It's all about money these days. Even, you know, try to buy their CDs, you know, sermon CDs you have to pay. I want to hear God's word, and I need to pay to hear God's word? What's going on? Do you think that's correct? Do you think that's right? Paying for hearing the word of God? No one should do this for money. But receiving pay for what pastors do is perfectly biblical. Even Paul, who did not receive pay from the church that he is currently working, received money from his previous churches that he worked. Verse 9, and when I was present with you and was in need, I was not a burden to anyone. For when the brethren came from Macedonia, they fully supplied my need, and in everything I kept myself from being a burden to you and will continue to do so. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 16 and 18, for even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus, what you have sent, a fragrant aroma and acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. But doing a ministry, remember, is never about making money. Verses 10 through 11, as the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be stopped in the region of Acadia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do.
The false teachers accused Paul of neglecting the good faith of Corinthian church by refusing to receive pay from them. Thus they conclude that Paul does not really love them. But God knows Paul loves them. The false teachers, they twist all things to convince the Corinthian church to follow their lies. Verse 12, but what I am doing, I will continue to do so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which we are boasting. Paul will continue to try to cut off the opportunities from these false teachers who pretend to do the same work as Paul. Now verses 13 and 15, sorry for delaying here. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as an apostle of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. These false teachers disguising themselves as an apostle of Christ, and Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Satan's servants disguise themselves as a servant of righteousness. Satan will not come to us as Satan. Like I said, when he does that, no one will listen. But he disguises. Thus false teachers and false teaching will many times seemingly similar things as the true teachers and true teachings. These guys are self-appointed apostles, deceitful workers. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 through 18. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eyes on those who cause dissension and hindrance contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but of their own appetite. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. They are slaves of their own appetites. They are world-centered and self-centered. They teach work principle of salvation and blessing. And this is the lie of Satan, who is, according to John chapter 8, verse 44, the father of all lies. And they work for their own belly. They seek wealth, power, the fame of this world, and they definitely hate suffering. They hate the cross. What is cross about? It's suffering and death. It becomes stumbling block to them. Philippians 3 calls them the enemy of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. They are all about being rich and healthy in this world, being successful, thus no sufferings in this world. But when Paul boasts about himself in the rest of the chapter, which section we will look at next week, it is all about sufferings. You and I are the sons of God, and just like the true Son of God, Jesus Christ, we live the very life of suffering, and we actually welcome suffering for Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Do you see, Paul welcomes suffering? He wants to know the fellowship in the sufferings of Christ. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25 through 26, Moses choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward of heaven. Jesus, our Lord, says in Matthew 10, verse 38 and 39, and let me end with this. He who does not take his cross. Now, what do you think that means when God says to you to take up your cross? What is cross all about? It's about suffering and death. He who does not take his cross and follow after me, is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. He who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, let us deny ourselves and take up our crosses daily and follow after our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not listen to the lies of false teachers. Your life is not about being rich, being healthy in this world. Your life is about Christ, living for His glory. Even if you have to lose your life, you have to live for Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you. Oh Father, we pray that the true gospel will be understood by your churches. They will have the right faith, right understanding, right gospel, the true gospel. That we may live according to the truth, not according to the lies of this world. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.